This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Make the decision. The president will make the decision as to who he listens to.
I want to talk a little bit about Elliot Cohen. He was an advisor to Condoleezza Rice, and he tweeted this morning. After an exchange with the Trump transition team, changed my recommendation. Stay away. They're angry, arrogant, screaming, you lost, will be ugly. You have been on transition teams, obviously. Does this represent a bigger concern with Republicans, you know?
No. I mean, there's going to be elbowing. It doesn't matter whether it's a Democratic transition or a Republican transition. There's going to be a lot of elbowing. People are fighting right now. You know, the pie is being sliced, and everybody wants a piece of the pie. And so people are scrambling right now to get in and to see what they can get. They've got to know what they want, and then they've got to fight to get it. This is the nature of transitions.
You talked about the jockeying, which always happens. Do you think there's more that is happening now? We have had reports that there is some infighting. There is some drama with this so-called, as you heard Peter Alexander talking about, Christie purge.
Yeah, well, it's tricky because, you know, people are going to be in and then they're going to be out. I mean, they're going to be people who lose favor. And so this is part of the
so that's normal.
This is normal stuff. I mean, you know, people come and they go. People fight and they lose. There are people who did not support Donald Trump who are now working the transition. There are people who support him who are in the transition but don't have government experience and who may not know how to play in this game. And so you've got all that at play right now, and you've got Donald Trump is the one making the...
You know, this is the sausage-making stuff, you know, Scott, that just drives people nuts. It's like, you know, who cares? But the media, you know, has got to, you know, question everything and act like it as if this is exceptional. You know, I think Bill Federer put it quite nicely when he talked about, you know, about rulership and what it's all about. You know, if you're not the king, you want to be close to the king. And this is what's going on. You know, the vortex of power, people are scrambling. You got to imagine when your whole worldview is all about who you know and what you can affect and how close to power you can be. I mean, that's the tough thing, I think, for, you know, for Hillary Clinton, for example, because she's been right there at the apex of the power, about ready to grab, you know, the golden ring and really affect some things, you know, for the Clinton Foundation, other things certainly. You know, here it is. There was a lot riding on this election for Hillary and her family. Donald Trump, I mean, Donald Trump could have lost the election, which had been, I think, very painful for a good percentage, at least 50% of America. But you know, it would have been business as usual. He would have taken this experience. He would have leveraged that. But in this particular case, he's got his hands full. And now being the president, I mean, Melania told him, said, hey, look, if you run, you know, you're going to win, right? Well, here he is. He's won. And Lord have mercy, the weight of it all, as we were talking about, you know, with Liz Peek earlier, you know, the weight of being the president of the United States, and here you are, you're hitting the ground running. I mean, you don't get a chance to take a break. I mean, like last night, Scotty goes to, you know, he and the family want to have a break, and they say, hey, we're finished with the press, the whole deal, and, you know, the press is upset. You know, they didn't know because, you know, the team said, hey, look, we're done for the night. Well, he wanted to go out and have dinner. He wanted to just go out to, you know, 21. And I've been to that restaurant before, and it's a great place. And, you know, and he was so well received. It was really, really neat and cordial. And that here he is. He just wants to take a break, go have dinner with his family. And the press is all upset. You know, they didn't know where he was at. And, you know, and he left him. And it's like, wait a minute. You guys are out there. You're watching a parade of cars along with an ambulance because, you know, this guy doesn't move anymore very quietly. I mean, there's quite the cadre of automobiles and support team and security staff that goes with him. And like what? They couldn't get in their car. They couldn't figure out what was going on. You can't, you know, follow the motorcade. And somehow they were complaining they were left in the dark. But, hey, I guess that's the way it works. And it's all fun and games right now. until January the 20th. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 after.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's
well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day at just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Kathleen Harnett White is with us, senior fellow in residence and director of the Armstrong Center for Energy and the Environment at the Texas Public Policy Institute. Kathleen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you here. In light of everything political, I mean, it's no sooner that one thing concludes. Now we're into a transition, 70 hectic days to get a new administration unwrapped and ready to go and hit the ground running. You know, the media's got to make something of it. So, you know, little elbows, a little pushing, get out of the way. I want to get to the front of the line. You know, all that set aside, we've got real issues to talk about, don't we?
We really do. And we, in my opinion, we have, like never in my lifetime, the opportunity for a for some real changes in a government grown way too big, way so controlling. And I think it's hard for those who support that change or those that don't to actually really be able to absorb, you know, the crossroads at which we stand right now. It's not business as usual.
No, it's not. And but I always say, Kathleen, and maybe I'm imprudent for doing this, but I have found that there's nothing like success. You know, we can talk philosophy all we want and, you know, whether you're talking the energy and the environment. But I believe this is one of the critical sectors that's getting ready to explode and to be liberated here. And when that happens, what this will do for America's energy independence, what this will do for productivity and the GDP, oh, yes, all of this good stuff and really getting America back on track. I mean, this is going to be a huge part of the proposition of getting this country going again, don't you think?
I'm so glad you feel that way because I really do. I really do. And I think that to date, even many, you know, very sophisticated policymakers and policy analysts and all that universe haven't really registered the magnitude of what the shale revolution means. It's not just, oh, we got some new technology, now we're getting more out. It's giving us being the world, access to the mother load of
right.
hydrocarbon resources that geologists knew were there, but they,
right.
they couldn't imagine they could be accessed, and they are right in our laps.
and I want people to understand here, Kathleen, as much as they can. I can appreciate for the decades of this really hard indoctrinated orientation, this, you know, we got to protect the environment, global warming mindset, and everything all rolled into one. Anytime you talk about production of natural resources, people just instinctively shut down and close down. But what I'm hearing time and again from people in the energy sector is they have no desire whatsoever to violate the environment. After all, that's what we're drawing from. Why would we kill the goose that's laying golden eggs here, right?
Right. Oh, I appreciate your insights. And as a former regulator, former head of the very large environmental regulatory agency in Texas, I I learned over the years of about the dramatic reduction in real pollutants that can impact human health and damage our glorious wildlands. Incredible. I mean, we out of our tailpipe now, the various pollutants have been reduced by 90% compared to where they were.
That's incredible. 90%? That is a
90%.
Huge number. But we're not hearing about that number. You see, and this is responsible energy people doing something about the problem. Now, I say this in balance, that the quote-unquote environmentalists in that have brought something to the table. And it's not like other people, you know, like the other side is shut down and said, we're not going to hear you at all. They have responded to the point that you can make that statement that 90% reduction coming out of the tailpipe of bad elements going into our environment have been reduced. That's an incredible number. And we've got, you know, the idea of the dynamic and the dynamic tension between the two sides playing together and being able to work this out, right?
And I agree, and I can't resist a little pitch for a book I wrote just recently published, Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy.
Yes.
Available at Amazon. It's really to tell the story that you're talking about, but also with real facts and the high ground, not name slinging and, any of the kind of, you know, really rough, public discourse about this, but really on the high ground. And, I think we can operate now, whatever is the natural resource business, with much more environmental sensitivity than was the case 20 or 30 years ago. And I wish my environmental colleagues in the, very powerful activist organizations, could help recognize that with me and I might add, just on the climate note or the carbon note, in 2015, and this is government data, Energy Information Administration, comparing the reduction in carbon emissions, carbon dioxide emissions, in that year across the world. Guess who was leading the reductions? The United States.
Of course. Right.
And probably as a result of using more natural gas, also more efficiencies that I've been talking about. You know, if there's a climate in which to innovate, you know, we'll just see more and more of it. Breakthroughs lead to breakthroughs.
Exactly.
So it's exciting. It's very exciting that we have an opportunity with the new administration, perhaps to really use common sense, facts and figures and make human welfare the most important guide in our energy and environmental policies.
Well, Kathleen, what you're pointing to is that we have a lot to celebrate, but it's unfortunate that we can't celebrate together because of ideology. And I guess that's what you long for, you know, because we all want to be able to feel like, look, we've contributed here. And this is why I hold space to say, look, environmentalists have come in and they've brought some good argument to the table here. And I see the energy sector as being responsible and responding to it. It's not like they kick the baby out of the bathwater and say, we don't want to listen to you, get out of here. It's the wrong gospel, wrong church. They've been listening and responding, but I don't think there's been an acknowledgement of that, you know, by environmentalists and by the mainstream media.
And by the federal government.
By
the current by the current leadership.
Yes.
The gap is quite large. And the problem is when you know, over the years, decades, EPA has continually increased the stringency of standards to reduce, again, genuine pollutants. And they've been expensive. Industries often concerned or opposes them. But what they ultimately become absorbed and the emissions are continually reduced. But what the current EPA has been doing is actually imposing infeasible standards, impossible standards, like for coal. So there's no means of complying with the regulation at any cost, and that that approach to me, I think, is and EPA's not forthcoming about that, and that's I think has in significant part to do with the kind of economic anemia we've had over the last 8 years.
You know, without a doubt. Well, it's exciting times, I believe, that lie ahead for all of us. And, you know, I really believe this, Kathleen, that we've got this pent up productivity that's about ready to be unleashed. And, you know, we've got some good times to look ahead, and the development in the energy sector is just going to be beyond awesome. I can hardly wait. And I appreciate you coming on and keeping us up to date as to what is happening here. You know, Kathleen, the senior fellow in residence and director of the Armstrong Center for Energy and Environment at the Texas Public Policy Institute.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business, so make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. online at BillMartinezLive.com.
And whether it's online on any one of the 280 affiliates or around the world via shortwave, thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can follow us at BMartinezLive or like us on Facebook at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you for joining in on the conversation. Hey, what did you think about Donald Trump saying that he's going to take a dollar salary as president? He's going to put that, heaven knows what's going to happen to that $400,000. Maybe the Justice Department is trying to get their hands on it, so that they can waste it on shower curtains or something. I don't know. But, God bless him. You know, thank you so much. I mean, coming in and setting an example and not even about to take a salary. He says, well, I guess I have to take a dollar, so I'll take a dollar. Like he needs $400,000. It probably cost him so much more in taxes there. I don't know. But anyway, still, it was quite encouraging when I heard that news. Well, you know, around this country and, of course, throughout the campaign and leading up to it, there has been a lot of voices out there regarding social justice and criminal justice. You know, what is going on here? Well, Derek Cohen is the deputy director for the Center for Effective Justice with the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and he's with us right now, and we're going to talk real solutions about this. Derek, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Well, thank you, Bill. Great to be here.
Hey, break it down, if you will, for us. I mean, outside of, people's, kind of resistance with what's going on out in the streets of America, you know, a black American lie, Black Lives Matter and all this. But out of all this frustration and anger, what are the things that we need to truly decipher about, adult and juvenile crime here in America today?
Well, that's a broad question, Bill. I think the most simple answer I could give is that the way we have been doing things, or the way that we're still doing things in many states, no matter how we look at the criminal justice system, the most efficient solution. You know, like we did here in Texas in 2007, we had an issue where we were making almost no use, or should I say limited use of our community corrections, be it probation, parole, whatever the case may be, even for our low-level offenders. Uh-huh. And so one thing we looked at is saying, look, these people are taking up a lot of jail space. We're paying, something on the order of $56 a day ahead for these individuals. You know, some of them who aren't even haven't even gone to trial yet, who will eventually be acquitted. There has to be a more efficient way that we can actually protect public safety. And that's where we launched the reforms that we did here in Texas in 2007. And that, that same model can be applied both nationally in the various states and federal.
Well, in terms of protecting, the public, no doubt, public safety, job one. But the other thing that we need to be careful to do is not, is that we're not adding to developing a career class of criminals, that we put them on a trajectory and a career path that says, hey, we're just going to make you a better criminal. And arguably, this is some of the statements that I'm hearing in terms of the system being a bit rigged here. I'm not sure, and I'm not all that familiar with what Texas is doing. Certainly, what you mentioned addresses some reforms, but I'm looking at something more holistically. Can you address that?
Certainly. So what you referred to in academia is known as the risk principle, that you want to use the least onerous confinement or a sanction available for that particular person that will still protect public safety. Again, that doesn't mean that you're letting people run free or that,
you're getting away with murder or anything like that. No, we're not saying
that. No, yes, exactly. But on the other side of that coin, if you have, and I'm being hyperbolic here, but if you have a jaywalking offense, do you need to be held in, lockup until we hear what ends up being tantamount to a Class C misdemeanor ticket?
Right.
That's a very stark example, but that in general is one of the things that has not permeated our policymaking sphere yet. And so just moving towards that general direction where we're making sure that the prison space we have, which is limited and finite, making sure we're using that finite space simply for the people that can actually harm society. I mentioned reforms we did. We had a problem leading up to that where the dangerous people were able to walk the streets simply because we didn't have the room to hold them because of the non-dangerous people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and I understand. I mean, this is a complex, it's a huge issue. And again, you know, considering holistic solutions, you know, you go back to the root of it. And what I have started to see and be made aware of here, Derek, is that we're putting kids at a young age into the system. They're getting connected with the justice system a little too early. And sometimes what happens, it almost becomes a career path for them to do nothing else but to find themselves in jail, and you can track some of this stuff. I think that's the thing that was eye-opening for me, is that we need to consider what we're doing at the very beginning. First of all, understanding what the focus is here is that job one is protecting our citizens, no doubt about it. But we also do not want to get into a situation where the system is rigged. And I think this is where some people, you know, Black America, even some Hispanics are saying, look at the opportunities that I had, because somehow I got tangled up with the system early. And I, with unbeknownst to me, I'm on this career path to become a criminal. And now 15 years down the road, in fact, what was set in motion 15 years ago is now being realized. Does that make sense?
No, it makes complete sense. And I think you see a general trajectory both in the states and the federal government to kind of get away from kind of the over-criminalization of youth, as I call it. You know, back about a year ago, I testified in front of Congress on the reauthorization of the Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention Act reauthorization. Mm-hmm. And what this did is it really didn't reinvent the wheel in any way. But what it did is it included one provision that said you cannot incarcerate status offenders on the violation of a court order. And how that would look in practice, let's say that you were one of the states where truancy was illegal. And if you skip school and then you know, they couldn't incarcerate you on the first pass in county lockup. But if you skip school a second time, then you could be facing jail time as a youth. And that's, you know, while, you know, whether or not you think, nobody thinks truancy is a good thing by any means, but is the criminal justice system, should that be the venue of first resort for actually handling this? And, you know, the Texas legislature in 2015 said no, and Congress seems to be moving that direction as well.
Yeah, we want to get people away from this. We you know, yes, you know, there's going to be some kids that test the edges. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm talking about young kids here. I'm not talking about adults. You know, if you've established, you know, and this is going to be a tough situation here, Derek, when you start dealing with adults, because at this point they have a defined, you know, kind of a defined, you know, character, I guess, in a sense.
The cement is dried.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Yes, and so that is really tough on them. And I'm not saying that we just let them go altogether, but we have to manage that aspect in the reality and the context of the way it is. And what the biggest opportunity we have is with the young kids today, is making sure that they're educated, that we give them every benefit that we possibly can to keep them off of that career trajectory of crime.
Correct, correct.
I mean, that's the way I see it, and I'm glad to hear that things are, you know, that I'm not totally off base here, but this is just what I'm picking up from, you know, the people that I speak with across the country, because, you know, I see, you know, the riots in the streets of America, and of course right now over this election, but, you know, it's just like, it's getting to the point that we can't let any good riots go to waste here, you know?
I was about to say, I think that's paraphrasing someone who I don't usually quote, but I tend to agree with that.
But you understand where I'm coming from. No offense intended. It's just sometimes we just have to lighten it up here for just a moment, because this is really serious stuff. And I appreciate all your efforts to come up with the right solutions. Derek Cohen, Deputy Director for the Center for Effective Justice. Derek, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. CalBend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. To Bill Martinez Live. You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Yeah, big voice, we get it. We understand. Hey, the real Jersey boys, why not? Bill Martinez here with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. And if you think you've unmasked every untruth about the holiday season, huh, you think you have? Well, think again. For more than 20 years, Cotton Incorporated's Lifestyle Monitor Survey has kept its finger on the pulse of consumer behavior and preference. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, the week before Christmas, all will have popular holiday sales events with consumers taking advantage of layaway, ship-to-store options and social media opportunities to save. From how much consumers plan to spend to what they plan on spending, our next guest, Melissa Bastos, the Director of Market Research at Cotton Incorporated, is going to fill us all in on this critical information you need to have because 'tis the season is just around the corner. Melissa, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on here and, you know, to talk about the Lifestyle Monitor survey. So let's open up the envelope. What are the results?
Great. Well, I think overall, just to speak on the top line for the holiday spending and the outlook, it seems to be like analysts are coming together to say it's going to be a pretty bright season and pretty positive overall. So that's certainly great. And from the consumer standpoint, the research that we do, we ask the consumers, how much are you planning to spend this year? So they tell us, you know what, I'm planning to spend about $744 on gifts this year.
Uh-huh.
On average. That's going to be an average. Oh, and they're going to buy for about seven different people, so maybe about $100 per gift or so. Mm-hmm. For their friends and family. But in terms of how this compares to last year, about,
I was just going to say, I thought
they plan to spend more.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because last year, wasn't it projected early on to be around $700, $800? So we're about in the same ballpark here, right? Or just a little bit more, you think?
Yeah, you know, a little bit. Maybe a little slightly more. It depends on what all was included in some of those estimates. But these for gifts alone, sometimes they'll include some things that are like candies and you know, other types of holiday overall spending. But this is specifically for the gifts. So we do see that about 63% most say they plan to spend about the same amount, mm-hmm. and 26% do plan to spend more. So we do see some uptick there, but yeah, right. there'll be some consistency, but a little bit of uptick overall.
Well, we've been, speaking of upticks, we've been seeing a consistent uptick on online shopping. What is that going to look like?
Yes, absolutely. And we will continue to see some increase in online, but also expect an increase in stores. So what we see overall is that consumers, the main gift they want to buy for their friends and family is clothing. So that's certainly important. There's going to be other items, too, including gift cards as well as the toys and electronics. But online will be an important place for consumers to really get ideas and inspiration about what they want to buy. And so there will be some online browsing as well as purchasing, but overall, most purchases will be made in the physical store. About two-thirds of consumers plan to buy in a brick-and-mortar store, with about one-third saying they plan to buy their gifts online.
Well, when you talk about inspiration and ideas, gosh, I remember as a kid growing up, and it was the Sears catalog, you know, would come out, and that was kind of like the wish list that you would go through. But no doubt the Internet has kind of replaced that, hasn't it? I mean, you can tell how old school I am. I'm talking about the Sears catalog, right?
Oh, no, I remember it, too. I know, I'm right there with you. No, absolutely has, you know, definitely has. And there's still some catalogs out there as well. But, you know, I think that Sears catalog was really iconic for a lot of us. So, right. But the Internet has replaced a lot of that. And it's given the opportunity for the consumer to learn a lot more, to do a lot more research before they ever go to the store. About 7 out of 10 consumers say they plan to do the research online before buying in the physical store. So there's still some limitations there, but a lot of people take advantage of it. We'll see significant increases in online shopping. But some of the limitations for some people is, like, in particular for clothing, if it is what they want to buy, you know, sometimes they can't touch it, they can't feel it, and there's not the details. If the retailer doesn't offer them the detailed information, like, what's the fiber content? You know,
yes,
is it cotton?
Exactly.
Because we know most people are, three-quarters of consumers say they're looking for cotton clothing to put in their gift or to give to consumer or their friends as a gift. And so that's an important, you know, to have there. Now, in the store, they can look at the fiber content label. That's certainly something that's encouraged to find, you know, what you want. So online, what they'll do, they'll buy it, and they think maybe it is cotton, and they get a home, they you know, it's not what they wanted. So that's certainly some limitation that you can find to online.
Well, Melissa, I'm encouraged because I see a lot of consumers like myself, you know, as they go passing by, you know, the garment racks and that sort of thing, the first thing they do is they just reach out and touch. You know, they want to feel, you know, they want to feel the fabric, don't they?
They do. They absolutely do. Yeah. Hey, the touch, the feel, you know.
Yes.
I like to say the touch, the feel of cotton, right? But sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of, you get a little fooled there because, you know, a lot of fibers are trying to emulate some of that softness and that people tend to relate back to cotton. But then again, you got to check the label and make sure it's cotton, because then once you get home and you try to launder it, you figure out it's not quite the quality you expected, or doesn't work out the way you do. But people do want to feel it. They want to know how it's going to fit on them when they try it on, and how it's going to drape and what it's going to look like. So having that detailed information really makes a difference to the consumer.
Yeah, we talked about some of the practical things, but are you finding this season, you know, though the dollar amount is slightly up over the previous year in terms of what people plan to spend, are their choices a little bit more practical this year, or are they still running the gamut?
Well, they can certainly run the gamut, but the ones that really stand out, we do tend to see these kind of on the top each year, but we hear a lot. I'm hearing more about this as well. So the top gifts they're planning to buy for their friends and family for clothing would be T-shirts. That's kind of number one, followed by jeans, also sleepwear, and sweaters. So some of those we do know are consistent with the holiday season, especially having some comfortable cotton pajamas, having under the tree for you. That's always nice. So we definitely
those are the ones you get to open before Christmas, though, right? The pajamas, because you want to have them Christmas morning.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to be wearing, exactly. And then I see these photos of the families all wearing the same pajamas. Like my children, I have twin 9-year-olds, so of course they're going to look alike. So they're not going to be. They're going to be wearing their cotton jammies. So
exactly.
But definitely.
Well, that it definitely goes with the twins. I've got a 14-year-old, soon-to-be 15-year-old grandchildren. The day after Thanksgiving, they celebrate their birthday, so we've gone through the twin experience in our family, which is just so much fun.
How exciting. Oh, yeah, they're just say my social experiment. I'm learning.
Right, exactly.
So, absolutely.
It continues to grow, no doubt. So, you know, we talked about the things that people are planning to buy this holiday season. So what types of promotions and retail strategies will consumers take advantage of this year, you think?
Well, definitely Black Friday. We see from our research that there's a significant increase in the percent of consumers who are planning to shop Black Friday. Mm-hmm. About half of consumers say they will be in the store shopping on Black Friday, and another half say they're going to be online, about 49%. Mm-hmm. So some will take advantage of both options. They'll maybe buy a little bit in the morning and then head out to the stores, or vice versa, and they're going to take advantage of that. So definitely I think that will be an important holiday. Also the Cyber Monday, 47% of consumers say they're going to take advantage of that. Also the National Free Shipping Day. There's also the Small Business Saturday. About 22% of consumers plan to participate in that. Mm-hmm. So those will definitely be some ways consumers will, promotions will take advantage of and get out there shopping, or get online and start their shopping as well.
Well, we know the reason they call it Black Friday, and this is why retailers are real serious about holiday shopping, and they're pulling out all stops, and they're very aggressive with their marketing to get consumers in their stores. So Black Friday opportunities, and you mentioned Cyber Monday as well. People do that which they get rewarded for. It's our natural instinct, and why not? And if the retailers are going to cooperate, hey, well, we're happy to save money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. U.S. consumers are absolutely conditioned to buy on sale and look for that deal. I mean, we've definitely learned that's what we need to do.
Well, Melissa, where do they go for more information?
Well, they can go to lifestylemonitor.com to get our research, or also go to fabricofourlives.com, and that's where you're going to see things like our new holiday campaign coming out next Monday. It's really a humorous look at how cotton can keep you comfortable during the most uncomfortable holiday situations. So,
we'll be looking forward to it then.
Experience some of those.
Exactly. Melissa Bastos, Director of Market Research at Cotton Inc. Thank you so much, Melissa.
You like to pay less taxes. Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number of conditions that could make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396. 1396.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4939. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4939. That's 1-800-656-4939. 1-800-656-4939.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
Love is a burning flame.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at you. 3 hours fresh every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 to noon Eastern. And we've got a real treat here. We're going to be talking Johnny Cash and his latest book, Believe It or Not, which is put together by his son and the son of Johnny Cash and June Carter. Johnny Carter Cash is with us. He almost was named Sue, but his dad gave him a break, and we're going to talk about the legacy of Johnny Cash and these forgotten, or I should say not forgotten, but forever words, the unknown poems that his son, John Carter Cash, has put together. You know, since his first recordings in 1955, Johnny Cash has been an icon in the music world. Now comes a collection of his as yet unpublished poems, adding to his already prolific number of original songs. And this is the book that we're going to be talking about, Forever Words, The Unknown Poems. In these words, we see the world through Cash's eyes, his reflection upon his own interior reality, frailties and strengths alike. The poetry reveals his depth of understanding, both of the world around him and within, coming from purely American and gospel traditions of songwriting. Johnny Cash reflects upon love, pain, freedom, and mortality. John Carter Cash, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Man, I'm doing okay, Bill. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Well, great to have you on.
And a continuing legacy of my father's words beyond the music or within the music, as part of the music. Just very excited about the release of the book. And, just, you know, dad's legacy lives on.
Well, I got to tell you, when I heard about you coming on the show, I was really excited. You know, I make reference to A Boy Named Sue only because it was one of the first songs I ever played in my first radio job in Ventura, California. I was at a country station. That's how I broke into the radio business. And I was playing Boy Named Sue. I played some of your grandmother's songs, Mother Maybelle Carter. I mean, I got it on. So I says, boy, there's a lot of stuff here, but you know, to be able to read your father's poems and to get some additional insight, I think overall, you know, from what we were able to see, we understood Johnny Cash to be a rather unique and special individual. But as you say, in forwarding the legacy of your father, and you sense your mother in these poems as well. I did anyway, and I think it's just really special for any Johnny Cash fan to be able to get their hands on this book, Forever Words.
Oh, man, you know, Dad, of course, is recognized you know, as an icon and as a music figure entertainer, still touches people on a regular basis with his songs and with his music. And, of course, you know, you mentioned Born in Sue, but that's not something he physically penned. Of course, he did write I Walk the Line and, you know, Folsom Prison Blues and some other beautiful songs, including love songs like Flesh and Blood. And the power of the lyrics, the power of the word, I believe can be just as strong, you know, as the music of my
exactly.
father. And he is an American cultural literary figure as much as he is a, you know, a musical figure, entertainer. And it, you know, going through the papers, my dad's papers after he passed away, it made me realize that there was a cohesive picture here. There was something. Hadn't been said before in a way that was unique, and so it was very exciting to put this together and to work with Paul Muldoon, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning poet, Irish poet, and I believe in Paul's work, and he also believed in my father's work, so that connection was great to make, and just excited about this book.
Well, you know, and I appreciate right off the bat your honesty and vulnerability in writing about your father. You didn't make him any more than what he was. You addressed his personality. I mean, Johnny Cash lived his life in public. I mean, we knew his ups, his downs. In fact, your foreword is titled Redemptions. And you talk about this in a very special way, and I believe in the way a son who understands mercy and forgiveness.
Hey man, you know, when it comes to a legacy, and my father speaks about it in Forever Words. He's in the last thing in here that we know of as a poem that he wrote is the poem Forever. Mm-hmm. You know, the songs that I sing will still be sung.
Right.
The trees that I planted are still young. And so that, you know, the goodness of that legacy endures. And he most certainly was not a, you know, he was a flawed human being. He definitely was. And he was the first one to tell you that. And so this book is as much about his fears and his shortcomings as it is his triumphs, you know. Yeah. And but there's everything within this book, the pages in this book, that show the different varied aspects of my father's character. His humor is in here. Mm-hmm. There's some great stuff within the book. And, of course, as you mentioned, his enduring love for my mother and the great loves of his life are within this book.
Well, and he was a spiritual man in and of it all, an ordained minister. I especially appreciate it. I'm glad you included this. He bore it all for me. He bore it all for me when I was lost, the painful cross. He bore it all for me. He took the blame for me. He took the blame for me. He counted my wrongs as forgotten and gone. He took the blame for me. He paid the price for me. He paid the price for me, a price that was high for failure and lies. He paid the price for me as he bore the pain for me. He spoke not a word, not a cry was heard. He bore the pain for me. Yes, he bore it all for me. Yes, he bore it all for me. With nothing required but faith in the Lord, he bore it all for me. Wow. I mean,
exactly, man.
Very, very.
And he was
powerful.
Always, you know, he was always free and open to profess his faith. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, there's hardly anybody else that I can think of that could get up on stage and sing a song like Cocaine Blues and rouse the crowd to the point of riot. And turn around and sing Peace in the Valley and have them all, you know, nearly, especially like in Folsom Prison, have the men nearly like holding hands and smiling. It's amazing, you know, the magic that my father had as a performer. But it goes beyond that here. And you know, it's great to see this book come out, and it just opens a different chapter in his life.
Well, as you say, as we all are flawed, nobody is perfect, but, you know, the multiple aspects of his humanity, which we all are layered people. But you say initially, you know, as a young boy, you knew Dad as Fun Dad. He was Funny Dad. He's a character, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tell us some of your stories about that.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, of course, the Man in Black is well known, and that's just as true as you know as anything, but. He was as much a man of color and laughter as he was any other aspect of his character. It was just as important to the makeup of the man. And that's what I remember. I remember a man who loved to just enjoy life, And that's what he installed in me from early on, and I saw him live that way for his entire life.
Well, and of course, especially endearing for you, and what an example of human love was the relationship between your father and your mother.
Oh, yeah, and it just as so much else was not without flaw, and they definitely struggled a lot in life, and you know, I mean, it wasn't as if from at one point in their life, you know, maybe in 1968, that they, you know, everything was just happily ever after. They continued to have struggles throughout their life, but their love endured, and by the end of their lives, their love was as beautiful and as strong as it had ever been. And it was, it's a testament to the strength and the survival of the goodness of the heart that their love endured as it did.
Well, John, you know, as you were mentioning earlier, you know, after the passing of your mother and father, they passed, relatively close to each other, right?
Yes, sir. My mother passed away in May, and my father, you know, passed away in September of that year, 2003. And he did not, from when he retired from the road in 1997, Dad went into the studio. And he kept recording, kept making music. Mm. He was working on the American Recording Series with Rick Rubin. And when my mother passed away, Dad continued to make music. He continued to work in the studio.
Mm.
His body was frail. He was losing his eyesight. If we listen to those recordings, we can definitely hear a decline in physical strength. Mm. However, just as true as anything is a rise, you know, in his tenacity, in his endurance, in his ability to almost achieve a preternatural persistence. And that's evident when I listen to those recordings. Although the frailty is there, some of the most beautiful work that he ever did, I believe, was at the end of his life. And and that was like the blossom blooming of a flower that survives in the greatest time of greatest travail, and what a wondrous thing that he continued to make music until really until 10 days before he passed away.
Well, John Carter Cash, I cannot thank you enough. To be the one that carries forth the legacy of your mother and your father and your grandmother, the Cash family, is a real special calling for one's life. And I thank you for the gift that you're giving to all of us that have loved your father, have been entertained by your father. This is really a very special book. Johnny Cash, Forever Words, The Unknown Poems. And we'll wrap it up with what's on the back cover. And you drew reference to this. Your dad wrote, "You tell me that I must perish like the flowers that I cherish, nothing remaining of my name, nothing remembered of my fame, but the trees that I planted still are young, the songs I sang will still be sung." That is a powerful testament.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.